Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all deep. Here comes you.
Man, I counted at least 15 black people on that montage. Well, I'm here at the Academy Awards, otherwise known as the White People's Choice Awards. You realize if they nominated hosts...
All right, turn them off. Turn the sub-moron off. Who was more racist last night, Chris Rock or Hollywood? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Were you offended by this sub-moron's anti-white tirade, anti-Asian tirade? Was he born in a basket outside the 2 a.m. club? This man would be nothing was it not for Hollywood. Who is he? They created him. Nothing he said was funny. It was all racism. He attacked Asians. You didn't see that part of it? No one saw that, the pogrom against Asians, taking Asian children on the stage, making a mockery of their intelligence, making a mockery of their ability to do mathematics at the Oscars. If it was a white host making fun of black children on the stage, what might have happened today with the junkies in the audience? Have you heard what the Asian American, the Asian American people have been saying about that last night? No, that didn't make it to your newspaper. What does that tell you? Who is more racist, Chris Rock or Hollywood of the newspapers? You figure it out. Now, the ratings were in the toilet. They collapsed. They crashed because anyone who turned it on to see what he was going to do turned it off shortly thereafter. Way down. What he did was he bashed white people as though it's fun. Why would any sane white person watch a 3.5-hour pogrom against their own race and not turn it off unless they work in Hollywood and they're on drugs? Anyway, that's the Hollywood Oscars for you. I don't even want to play the jokes. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Welcome to the Savage Nation. On this, I think, extremely blue Monday, when you see Cruz alleging mafia ties with in Trump's background, when you see Rubio attacking Trump's hands as being small and never trust a man with small hands, you have to ask yourself, if first of all, is Rubio sane? I think he's very sane, but he's very shallow, and I think that my analogy from Friday is still the best. When I said after watching that debacle of Thursday night, in case you missed it, hello, you're listening to the Savage Nation. What did I say on Friday? Come on, wake up, you're in the classroom on Monday. Don't be asleep. I said, watching the debate Thursday night, Rubio reminded me of a busboy in the Catskill Mountains dining room. Cruz looked like the maitre d', and then Donald looked like the hotel owner who was being attacked by a busboy who was off his meds. That would be Rubio. Somebody ought to talk to Rubio and take him into a mental hospital and give him the treatment he so desperately needs, because this can't go on much longer. Now, I want to read something to you that has nothing to do with Rubio or Trump or Cruz or the Oscars. I'm going to read it to you, then I'll tell you where it's from. I'll just read it cold. The conservative movement is dead. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Let's face facts. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that those empty suits and skirts would provide the leadership necessary to defend America from those who would do her harm instead of taking the side of the enemy. Can you think of one speech where the Republican leadership has expressed a desire to protect our borders, our language, and our culture? You see, without those three fundamental pillars of society, no nation can survive. Except for a few minor utterances about cultural issues with little or no follow-up, there has been scant support for these conservative principles or values. On my radio show over the last 10 years, people have repeatedly called, expressing their fears that our national sovereignty is diminishing and that this country will be sold out to an international New World Order. They fear that American citizens will no longer have the protections of our U.S. Constitution. that it will be replaced by a constitution forged by the United Nations. No longer will we have the Bill of Rights to protect us. It will be a new watered-down Bill of Wrongs for the new ruling bureaucrats. And then the examples were given. That was written in the year 2005 by yours truly and published as a book entitled Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. The book was dedicated to the American soldier. And the reason I'm reading it to you is because we have the purists who think they invented the conservative movement. Long before the purists came along and invented themselves and presented themselves as purists, those of us who were working in the trenches for 20 years knew that the conservative movement was already dying, if not dead. We understood it, we knew it, and we worked at it. And as I said then, I believe the only thing that can save America is a new appreciation of our national identity. And I quoted Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. when he wrote, "As life is action and passion, it is required of a man that he should share the passion and action of his time at the peril of being not to have lived." Taking that to a step further, I wrote, "If we fail to act and to pursue a new American nationalism, 2005, we will fail to exist as a nation." I wrote, "These Euro-socialists and their American counterparts see a terrible beauty struggling to be born, a beauty that would like to sweep away our dying civilization and bring us into an unbrave new world." Well, that's what they've done to the EU. I saw it coming. They've almost destroyed the sovereignty of every European nation. And then I wrote this caption. "When the internationalists attack Christian fundamentalism, let us not forget they are also attacking Judaism." Of course, you don't know that. This book has been designed to pour a caustic solution on the edifices of liberalism. Now, the reason I'm reading this to you is because we're living through everything I predicted in 2005. And that brings us to the election of today in 2016. And the only question is, who are you for? Now, you have a right to be whoever you want to be for. I have taken a very pragmatic approach from the beginning. My entire approach has been, who can win? Who can beat Hillary Clinton? Who can beat this woman who will destroy everything that's left in America? And by the way, there's a secondary show question, and I think it's worth asking. Although there was a 35% lower voter turnout in South Carolina than in 2008, that's a very important fact, class, that I want you to keep in the back of your mind, even though she beat the communist from the streets of Brooklyn, Bernie Sanderson. The turnout was very low. But let's say she's the candidate, and she survives the spy scandal. She survives what she's done to America. She survives the corruption of the Clinton Foundation Library. She survives all of that. Let's say she against a Republican. Be honest with yourself. Which one of the Republicans is the only one who might beat her? And I say might. There's only one, and that's Donald Trump. Rubio's finished. Cruz is extremely smart, well-intentioned, unelectable. Unelectable on a national level. I am sorry. I'm going to give you an experiment with Cruz. And I want you to do this experiment in the privacy of your own room. Nobody will report you to anyone. The next time you see Cruz speaking, I want you to turn the sound off. I want you to dim your eyes. I want you to imagine white, big white ears and tell me he does not look like Dracula. That's how the average American sees him as a candidate. Trying out for a role in Dracula. Trying out for a Hollywood Oscar as Dracula because he can't play president. I want you again, dim your eyes when Cruz is speaking, shut off the sound. Imagine long white ears and imagine him trying out for the role of Dracula in a movie. That's all. Simple. And you don't understand it. I understand more than you may think about perception. And everything is perception. It doesn't matter that he can cite the Constitution chapter and verse. It doesn't matter that he's a good man. It doesn't matter that he's a fine man. It doesn't matter. What matters is can he marshal enough votes to beat Hillary Clinton and her machine? I don't think so. My analysis is only Trump, despite all of his flaws and his flip-flops, and the scandals that are swirling around them. And I got to show you something about the scandal. This is amazing. Where is this? I got to show you this. I pulled this over the weekend. Here. Over the weekend, They hate Trump so much. I've never seen such hatred in my life for any candidate in my lifetime. Never. You say, well, he deserves it. No, he doesn't deserve it. They have more hatred for him than they do for Al-Qaeda. They have more hatred for Donald Trump than they do for people who rape, kill, and murder. They have more hatred for Donald Trump than they do for a mass murderer on death row. Why? Because liberalism is a mental disorder. By and large, people in the newspaper business are not very smart. They went into journalism because they couldn't do anything else. They were the C&D students who blew a lot of dope. They didn't know what they wanted to do with their life, so they settled on a career in journalism. Then they found out they can tie a knot. They can do a Windsor knot, and the next thing you know, they're on television. Presto, and you have Jake Tapper. So Trump is seen on tape with a microphone on, telling Christie to go home moments after the endorsement by Christie. So this idiot reporter, Adam Adelman, a real genius of the New York Daily News, a real smart boy. His mother wanted him probably to be a chiropractor. He couldn't even make it as a chiropodist. So Adelman winds up writing for the Daily News, probably started in the obituary column, then did religion. And he says, Trump told Christie to go home moments after endorsement, New York Daily News. Then the subhead by the submoron is, a very unappreciative Trump caught telling Christie to go home moments after his former rival endorsed him. So I said, that's really got my curiosity. Let me listen to the thing. So I clicked to YouTube, and it's after Christie's long speech. Trump says, it's okay, go home to your family. And this idiot, Adam Adelman of the Daily News, says Trump told Christie to go home after the endorsement and calls him an unappreciative Trump. I have seen yellow journalism in my life. I have seen scandalous propaganda in my life. But I have never seen scandalous propaganda as I am seeing against Donald Trump. And you have to ask yourself why. It's a very important question. Why is Donald Trump hated so much? In my opinion, it's simple. Because he's not beholden to either party. When he gets in power, if he should win, and I hope he beats Hillary, I really hope he beats Hillary, because if you think that Trump would be a bad president and I don't, how come you can't think outside that limited sphere of your brain and look back upon Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and imagine what they will do to this country? Look back upon what she did in South Carolina to win the black vote. She appeased and appealed only to blacks. She did not mention any of the white police officers who were killed by black males. She didn't mention them at all. There was no eulogy for them. It was a eulogy only for black people killed by cops. If you think that her racism is something that America needs, if you think that her demagoguery is something that America can use, my friends, you're a very, very sick puppy. And on that note, I invite you to call on two questions. And I don't know what the questions are. You probably heard them. But the big question to me is this. The people I know who I actually talk to are very few, very few. They're all terrified that if Hillary wins, America will end and die. And when I get specific with them and I say, what is it you fear about Hillary Clinton? They tell me. So I want you to tell America, what do you fear most will happen if Hillary Clinton should, God forbid, become president of the United States of America? And that is the opening of the Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
He says, he's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me, he's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands? You can't trust them. You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
I would say that's a racist joke. I would say that Rubio is... I always knew he was extremely light in the head. I knew he was a nobody. I called him the ice cream man for well over 2 years now. And I'll tell you why I called him the ice cream man. I happen to have a home in Florida, which I rarely go to. When he was only a senator, I invited him on this show. He was an unknown senator. He was afraid to come on the Savage Nation, even as a senator. already the secret hands that invented the ice cream man. Because they found some dummy with an O at the end of his name who could talk. And they put him out there. Ah, you'll be a senator. What, me? Yes, shut up. Do what we say. Shut up if you know what's good for you. You'll be a senator. But I don't know enough. You'll be a senator. Just shut up and do what we tell you. Read our scripts. Even then already, he was an empty person. And I watched the man being pushed forward. I said, this is a nightmare. They're going to try to make this idiot into a president? Why not? If the same forces could fix the 1919 World Series, why couldn't they fix the presidency? That's all. They used to boast about it. They fixed the 1919 World Series. Why couldn't they find a guy like Rubio and make him into president? And then have everything they've ever dreamed of. I said to myself, as I talked to myself, as I thought to myself, as I walked to myself I talk, to myself I walk. This is the Savage Nation. Flew across the country last night. I'm delirious from it. I hate flying. I hate traveling. I don't like going anywhere. I don't know why I came here. I'm in Florida. Wonderful. Very nice. The ocean's beautiful. The air is blowing. And why didn't have nice water and air in California to come here? I don't understand why anyone travels at all. When I was young, I realized this. I never wanted to go anywhere. This whole obsession to go somewhere, I don't even know where that comes from. Like travel agents must have put it in our heads. People work their whole lives for what? To sit on a boat and get drunk. I don't understand that one. A man works his whole life to retire to do what? Hit a ball. Walk around hitting a ball with cleats on his shoes. I don't get it. Like, to each his own. I'm not knocking the whole sport of golf, but I don't understand that game to be. It's so slow, it starts like watching glue dry. Golf is a slow game. I admit it takes skill. But to me, it's like watching glue dry. It is so slow. It's something for old England when they invented it. I think the Scotch had nothing to do after they conquered the third world and robbed everything out of the countries. They had nothing to do with themselves, so they invented a game called golf. Too slow for me. Tennis is slower yet. Also too slow. Anything with a ball is too slow for my mind. This is Fast Enough Talk Radio. If you care to join the conversation, 855-407-282, who is more racist, Chris Mock or Hollywood? What do you fear most about Hillary becoming president? Phone number. Forget about it. If you don't know it by now, you can find it online.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-728. Savage.
ABC, CNN, multiple news reports have reported about his business dealings with, for example, S&A Construction, which was owned by Fat Tony Salerno, who is a mobster who is in jail. It is owned by two of the major New York crime families. And that has been reported in multiple media outlets.
You know, we hear the word McCarthyism, and although the senator who it refers to was actually a good man and a patriot, it has taken on a meaning of its own. McCarthyism is smearing someone with innuendo. This is something that Cruz is now engaging in, McCarthyism, in a negative sense. Now, having said that, what person listening to the show does not know that to build in Manhattan requires doing deals with, let us say, people of a certain persuasion? I don't think Cruz could build an outhouse in Manhattan because of his purity. I think Cruz is so pure he couldn't build an outhouse for a midget in Manhattan. And this is exactly why he's unqualified to run for the presidency of the United States of America. Do you have any idea what I am saying to you? I wrote the book on conservatism. I don't care what anyone else tells you. I wrote it. I read that to you in the beginning. I declared the conservative movement dead in 2005. I don't need anyone to tell me what my politics are, but I am a pragmatist, and I'm taking a chance that I will get what I want more so from Trump than from any of the others. First of all, Trump might beat her. Rubio, forget about it. He couldn't serve her a dinner. They wouldn't even have them in the White House to serve them. He's such a low piece of work, that one. He looks like, okay, forget about that. But Cruz, he should know better than to bring up a thing like this. But anyway, now here's another little story that's related to nothing. I have it on my website. Megyn Kelly dines with most extreme Hollywood liberals. Now, don't get me started on Megyn Kelly. Her looks say everything. I'm a student of literature, and The Portrait of Dorian Gray is a very famous book. Many of you never heard of it, but it's about, well, I don't have to tell you the whole story. Look it up. You can Google it faster than I could tell it to you. Oscar Wilde had a great wit, and he wrote The Portrait of Dorian Gray. And it was about someone who has a portrait painted of themselves, and as the portrait is finally unveiled, he sees how his face has changed. It changed as he developed through this story. It became uglier. He was a good-looking man. It became uglier and uglier. Megyn Kelly is the portrait of Dorian Gray in front of our eyes. This woman is changing in front of our eyes. She was once this vivacious, dashing, conservative commentator. We all loved her. And then as she developed, as she started to do the bidding of the liberals who run the Fox News Network, especially Rupert Murdoch, who was all in for Hillary Clinton, she started to attack Donald Trump, and her face started to change. And then she sheared off her hair, almost in a sense of, you know, there's a cutting thing amongst, it's a very serious deficit amongst teenage girls, is that when they get very depressed, they start cutting. When they get mature, they don't cut their hands, particularly if they're on the air. They can't show the scars. So they do weird things like cutting their hair inappropriately. But aside from the hair, can anyone listening to this show tell me that Megyn Kelly's face has not changed into a sort of porcine look? She's becoming, she looks increasingly like an English barmaid. She used to have a finely chiseled face. And as she's become more and more swinish in her attacks upon the Republicans, especially the conservative Republicans, the face is becoming that of like a girl behind a bar in an ordinary working class neighborhood. Now, some of you may like that. Some of you may find that bar girl attractive. The only thing missing is a little tattoo on her neck. We could wake up tomorrow and see that she has a Hillary tattoo on her neck on one side and a Rubio on the other side. I don't know. But look, the whole thing is pretty clear to me. Here's another one. Hillary could lose to Trump in Democratic New York. That's an interesting one. Benghazi heroes endorse Donald Trump. Chemical warfare. ISIS rockets may contain chlorine. What do you care about that? There was an interesting story over the weekend. Rubio pushed for immigration reform with various conservative media. It came out over the weekend. It was hushed up quickly. But if you read the New York Times article, it's frightening to see what he did. He met with Chuck Schumer and Roger Ailes, and then he went and met with Rush Limbaugh. The media executives, highly attuned to the intensifying anger in the Republican grassroots, warned that the senators also needed to make the case to Rush Limbaugh, who held enormous sway with the party's largely anti-immigrant base. So they had a dinner, and they reached out to Mr. Limbaugh, says the New York Times, and they say it's a history that Mr. Rubio is not eager to highlight. And they embarked on a tour of editorial boards and newsrooms, and Rubio was featured as the Republican savior, et cetera, and so on. And then down on the bottom here, I couldn't believe my eyes. On Monday, Mr. Limbaugh shed light on his interactions with the senators when he told a caller frustrated with his criticism of Rubio that the immigration position the senator had advocated comes right out of the Gang of Eight bill. Mr. Limbaugh added, "I've had it explained to me by no less than Senator Schumer." It's very curious to me. They made their case to Mr. Murdoch, Ms. Dales, and Mr. Limbaugh in a private room. I couldn't believe my eyes. As early as March 11, Schumer, joined by Lindsey Graham and other eventual members of the Gang of Eight at the Palm Restaurant in Manhattan, made their case to Murdoch, Ailes, and Limbaugh in a private room. I have never met any of them in the Palm Room or in the Automat. I never met them in a McDonald's. I never had a cheeseburger with Roger Ailes, nor would I. I never had a bite of food with Mr. Murdoch, nor would I. I saw him once in Mr. Chow's when I had a Hollywood agent for one day. It lasted exactly a day. I had the biggest agent in the country. It lasted 24 hours. He took me to dinner at Mr. Chow's. The worst Chinese food in the history of the world is Mr. Chow's in Los Angeles. The worst. These are the same people who run Hollywood. No wonder Chris Rock was off his rocker last night. He must have eaten their Chinese food a few too many times in Mr. Chow's. Anyone who knows Chinese food, it's the worst in the world. The worst. The most overpriced, full of sugar and garbage. I never heard anything like it. The worst. Garbage. People who don't know food eat at Mr. Chow's. That's perfect for Hollywood. I mean, if you're on Adderall or some kind of speed, you don't eat the food anyway. You don't know what you're eating. So here we are. I mean, we wake up. We don't know who to trust anymore. Which way do you turn? And so you're looking at this. You see Trump's surging. And he's being attacked more viciously by Rubio and Cruzio. He's trapped between the sandwich. They got him in a sandwich than he is by the communist liberals who are doing their best to bring him down. What do they fear the most about Trump? I know, it's simple. They're going to be out of business. It's that simple. That's going to be out of business. What do you think they're so frightened? The consultants are gone. The gravy train is over. He appoints people you never heard of to run everything. They're not going to be insiders. They'll be outsiders. He'll get fresh blood to run everything. Every division of government will be turned over. 20% of the people will be thrown out. They'll be asked to leave. They'll probably leave before. You know, if Trump wins, they'll take early retirement because they know that once they pick up the rocks of the accounting inside the NSF, the NIH, HHS, DHS, FBI, once they turn over the rocks and they see the organisms running out from under the rock, 20% attrition on its own for fear they're going to go to the slammer, which will open up a big part in the budget that we need, 20% attrition. I don't know where they're going to go to work, maybe in England or in France somewhere. Maybe they can get jobs working for Kim Jong-il, Un, whoever it is, Kim Jong-un, two, three, Kim Jong-un. I can't remember. I don't know Korean. And don't think that's a racist statement. I have a Korean young man who's worked for me for years. We get along great. What name? Kim Jong-un, Un, two. Why do you have to go from Kim Jong-un to Kim Jong-il? Couldn't, for Americans, couldn't it have been easier if we named the son Kim Jong-2? Why Kim Jong-il? Maybe he didn't like the kid. Maybe he looked at him and said, you look ill to me with that head of yours. Maybe he disavowed his son for all I know. Maybe it was macrocephaly. I don't know what it was. Do you want me to take calls? What do you want me to do? I'm waiting for newspapers. I sent someone out for newspapers 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago, I'll get the news here from yesterday. He's still on the road looking for a newspaper in southern Florida. I used to do as a shtick. I'd come to Florida, I'd read the local papers, and I'd have fun for half an hour. By the time the papers arrive, with no lunch, by the way, he went out three times. He went out for printer ink. He waited for the show to start to tell me the printer didn't work. That's the number one. So he ran out for printer ink, and I said, where are the newspapers? I'll go back for the newspapers. That's already 2 hours later, no newspapers. Then he emails me for the road and says, would you like lunch in the middle of a show? I'm supposed to answer him now and look at a menu. I'll tell you, there's no business like show business. I'll tell you the truth. If you want to stay young and healthy, don't go into this business. It's the most tense business in the history of the world. One of these days I will eat a meal again and not say, how much time do I have? How much time do I have? How much time do I have? But the fact of the matter is it keeps me hopping. It keeps me slender. And I can't wait to go to a restaurant tonight then. That should be fun, competing with the people from New Jersey. Everyone makes believe they're from the Soprano crime family. What is that? Why do they look up to people? Every young Italian guy has a cross hair on the neck. They wear wool suits in the summer with no underwear. What is this about? They walk on the beach with a wool suit with no underwear to show how tough they are. Tattoos coming out of their earlobes. Everybody wants to be a criminal from New Jersey. What is that? Wasn't there an upstanding citizen from New Jersey? Edison had a lab there in New Jersey. Couldn't the young guys want to be like Edison instead of like Tony Soprano? What is this about? It's about Hollywood, that's all. Edison Labs, they're in New Jersey. Check it out on your side. Englewood Cliffs, I think. Beautiful area. Fabulous. Thank God I don't live there. But the thing is, everybody wants to be a gangster, and everyone has to walk around pretending that they're connected to someone in the crime. I would pretend I wasn't if I was. In other words, if God forbid, that's what I would grow up in. I make believe I wasn't. I make believe I was a dentist from Staten Island. But every dentist from Staten Island makes believe he's a criminal. What is that about? Go figure that one out. Everybody wants to be a tough guy, but very few can make it. It's a tough business to be in, let me tell you. Asians not spared by Chris Rock at Oscars. You missed that one? Do we have the mocking of the Asian kids? That was disgusting. That was really hideous. I bet you missed that one. Of course, not on there. The best speech last night was from the biggest phony of all. And a fine actor, by the way. I love DiCaprio. DiCapito. He was born without an actual brain. He actually has a head but no brain, so we call him DiCapito. DiCapito is known as a party animal in Hollywood. Everyone knows he's the new Jack Nicholson. I could use another phrase for what he is, but it's a family show. Let's just call him a party animal. If it was a nightclub performance and I was smoking a cigar and having a drink, I would call him a different name than a party animal. But that's what he is. Private jets, big yachts, God bless him. Love him. And then he gives a speech last night after getting an Academy Award about, guess what? Not ISIS. No, about climate change. And clip 8, listen to this phony. Listen.
Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species, and we need to work collectively together and stop procrastinating. We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters of the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most affected by this. For our children's children, and for those people out there.
I love it. Again, what was the key words? Big corporations. Now, where does he derive his money from? Big corporations, investment banks who fund his stupid movies. He couldn't even say species. He tripped over the word species. It was too hard for him. As he dashed off to his private jet with the bimbos waiting for him to go pollute with the, you know, Caprio One. It's astounding. The guy is such a good actor that he believes his own lines. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take tonight for granted. Thank you very much. As he rushed off to a party. Well, I guess that's why they're actors. They read these things and believe them. They can break into tears. But it got even better. It got even better. When I come back, you're going to hear how better it gets. Joe Biden is invited to the Oscars, no less, which is a scream unto itself. Instead of talking about the threat of ISIS, about the decimation of Christians across the Middle East, about the rape of Yazidi girls on an industrial scale, he talks about the culture of rape on campuses, which is a complete invention. We'll play it when I come back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Well, the newspapers have arrived, and next hour I'll read you the headlines of local and national newspapers just for fun. I'll send out for lunch. I should have it in time for dinner. Well, so the callers are great today. It's a Blue Monday. All right, again, two Super Tuesday. It's all a warm-up to tomorrow. And then what? Going to talk about it again? On Wednesday, we'll talk about it again. That's all. That's the way it is. And what Cruz is doing is now reaching a new level of demagoguery. This was just sent to me. Cruz just had a press conference where he said the New York Times has an audio tape of Trump saying he doesn't believe what he is saying on immigration right now. Those were Cruz's exact words. It was on Fox and Fox Business. Cruz kept saying Trump will change on immigration if elected, and he made sure to say, quote, if the report is true. Cruz basically said the NYT has the tape, and then if it is true. He said Cruz is a monster. He's a bad human being. Demagoguery to the max. He uses what-ifs if they are true, saying I'm only quoting the New York Times. This is unbelievable to me. I mean, it's dirty politics as usual, but don't think that Cruz, who's a purist, is honest. You know, don't make that mistake. WJR in Detroit, a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation. Dennis, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Dennis. How are you doing? I'm sorry about that. Hey, here's my point. There's only one reason not to vote for Hillary. One reason primarily, and that's because she is bought out by many interests, particularly the Israeli lobby. And you can say that about all the establishment candidates, but not just them. You can also say it about Ted Cruz. They're all...
Well, hold it. I get it. So you don't like the Israeli lobby. We know it exists. But what about the Arab mafia? You're in their camp?
There'd be an Arab mafia, truly, Michael, if there were no Israeli lobby.
Oh, you mean Israel caused the behavior of the Muslims going back 1,000 years?
An Israeli lobby has been...
Wait, no, sir. So, in other words, it was the creation of Israel in the year of 1947 that created the first crusade by Muslims? Is that what you're arguing?
Well, I'm just saying, if it wasn't for Truman...
Well, I'm just saying, you're making no sense, I'm just saying.
Well, if it wasn't...
You just said the Israeli lobby is the reason that there is an Arab lobby. And I'm saying to you, the Arabs, God bless their souls, conducted the first crusade 1,000 years ago. What was it, 1,300 years ago? There was no Israel then, so what are you saying?
After World War II.
Okay, so you want to change it to World War II to make it convenient. Is that where you can fit the Jew into everything you hate, right? You can stick whatever's wrong. The cancer was caused by fill in the Jew. Tuberculosis was caused by the Jew, right? Isn't that what you're saying? Just plug in the word Jew? Hello, are you still there, or what happened? Your controller told you to hang up? You lost the chess game, the checker game, backgammon? Be back in a minute. Back at you on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag goes leave on deep. Here come Tuesday.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Savage Nation. I want you to see the level of smears that have been conducted against Donald Trump. The headline in the despicable Murdoch rag, the New York Post, says, security body slams photographer at Trump rally. Now, if you're an average viewer of the Oscars and you thought that the submoron Chris Rock was funny, you would take that and say, hey, well, look at that. What an evil guy that Trump is. He has an evil security guy who body slammed an innocent photographer at a Trump rally. You have to read the entire article to find out that the photographer was a troublemaking bum, and that it was actually a Secret Service agent who body slammed the photographer, because the low-life photographer pushed the Secret Service agent. The photographer's lucky he didn't get shot. But the level of lies against Trump are the highest I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't understand how these people don't understand what they're doing, or do they? The viciousness that is being directed against Donald Trump by the liberal establishment of drug users is at a level I never would have expected, because you'd think that they have some sense of self for some guy, Cohen, I never heard of, another genius who couldn't be a dentist or a chiropractor. So he got D's and C's probably in school. His mother said, look, you could always become a writer, go to work for a newspaper. Probably started at on the obituaries somewhere in Scranton. Then he worked his way up to Sulzberger's paper. And they're calling him Il Duce now, comparing him to Mussolini. And they're saying the elites of Europe are stunned at the rise of fascism in America. What are they stunned at? They destroyed their own countries, and now we have a populist nationalist leader who doesn't want to happen to America what has happened to Europe as a result of the weaklings in the European Union, number one, and the backstabbers in the liberal press, number two. And that's why, although he's a flawed candidate and a flip-flopper on many issues that are important to us, he's the best chance we have. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Savage Nation. And on that note, we will go to the callers on the program. Thank God I had a nine-minute break. I had lunch. Rushed in, it was a bagel with turkey on it, to show you the power lunch I had. No, it was not a lunch at the Palms with Rupert Murdoch and Rush Limbaugh. It was not a lunch at the Palms with Rupert Murdoch, Roger Ailes, and Rush Limbaugh. It was a bagel from a supermarket with a turkey on it. Mustard and onion, thank you. I prefer it. I prefer that kind of power lunch. Now let's go to the callers. WABC Joe, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, you had warned us in your book, Trickle Down Tyranny, of a possible Bolshevik-style revolution, 1917 revolution here in the United States. With 2017 coming around, right around the corner, is Donald Trump, is a little too late? Are we facing a possible Bolshevik-style revolution is what I'm going to ask you.
Well, let's explain what you mean by that. You're talking about an absolute revolution where people's homes are invaded by mobs. Their property seized, churches are burned. Isn't that what you're talking about, the communist revolution?
Sure, a history repeating itself moment, yes.
Because most people don't know what the Bolshevik Revolution was. If you say to them, communist revolution, they say, right on. They don't know that they broke into houses, raped, murdered, killed. The communists killed priests and burned churches to the ground. They don't know that either. They'd cheer that today, though, wouldn't they? Wouldn't the average Bernie Sanders supporter burn a church down with glee?
I think in their ignorance, they may be fooled into doing so and cheering that on.
I can't predict that if Hillary wins that we'll have an outright red revolution in the country, but I would argue we've already had one. Wouldn't you say that we're 65 to 70% there already with the destruction of our schools and our media? Wouldn't you say we're already 70% there with the Bolshevik Revolution? The only thing we have left, really, is private property. Most of the rest of it's gone by the way of collectivism.
Yep.
I mean, being very clear, it was a very simple statement. I don't have to consult the textbook to answer the question. 70% of the Bolshevik Revolution has already occurred in America. And we have left, what? Private property, that's about it. We think that if we buy a blue car as opposed to a green car, we're free. If we go on a vacation to Lake Tahoe instead of to Lake Shmaho, we're a free man. If we choose waterboarding instead of water skiing, we figure we're a free man. So what do you fear? What do you fear most about Hillary becoming president?
Radicalism. Just what she is trying to sell looks to me to be completely communist. That's how they pit her up against the communists.
Absolutely. She pandered to the lowest common denominator in South Carolina. She fueled the fans of racism. And I don't have to spell out for what she actually said. Anyone can find out what she did. She's a demagogue through and through, and the most dangerous demagogue America has seen in a very long time. And yet she's embraced by the European socialists as a hope for America to save us from Donald Trump, because she's very much like the other backstabber, Merkel, isn't she? What Merkel has done to Germany is a war crime against the German people. Hillary is a twin of Merkel in many ways, with a little bit of Evita Peron and the one with the shoes thrown in. Who was the one with the shoes? Imelda Marcos. If you were to mix Imelda Marcos, an admixture, if I were painting it, it would be Imelda Marcos with the shoes. But I don't think Hillary has a fetish for shoes. I think she has a fetish for pantsuits. So she may have 200 pantsuits in the closet somewhere, let's say. But put aside her sartorial preferences. She's a bit like Evita Peron combined with Angela Merkel, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got that air about her.
But what do you fear the most, though? What could she do that you fear? What could she do as a president?
Let it happen. That's what I'm worried about.
In other words, not stop. She'd flood America with Syrian Muslim males of military age. She would magnify everything that is going on between the races and make it even worse. The phone number is 855-407-282. I've now lost my call screener, so I can't even take calls. And so, call screener, pick the next call for me since the system just broke down, and just put the next caller up. What's your name, please? Go ahead, Jim, on WMAL. What's on your mind? I don't hear a word. Is he up on the air? We'll go to break while the people stop eating their pizza. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI.
Apparently, there is a secret tape that the New York Times editorial board has. Donald Trump saying that he doesn't believe what he's saying on immigration, that all of his promises to secure the border are not real, and if he's president, he doesn't intend to do what he said. Now, that's been reported. The New York Times apparently has this on tape, but it was an off-the-record tape. And so the New York Times has said they will not release the tape unless Donald gives them permission to do so. I call on Donald. Ask the New York Times to release the tape.
I call on Ted Cruz to stop being such a sleazeball. I call on Ted Cruz to stop pretending he's so pure when he's so corrupt. And, of course, this kind of smear and innuendo, as I say, is a form of McCarthyism I have not seen in a very long time in a major league campaign. Again, I have to reiterate that Senator McCarthy himself was actually a great American patriot, a war hero. He was a tail gunner in World War II, one of the toughest, most dangerous positions you could take on a B-24 flying fortress. The attrition rate, the death rate was very high. Came back a war hero when he became a senator. He was smeared by the liberal press, I should say the communist Bolshevik press of the 1950s, because he dared say that there were communists in the government and there were communists in Hollywood. And he was 100% right. Years later, it was proven with the Venona papers, and I know my facts, the Venona papers, look them up, V-E-N-O-N-A, released after the fall of the Soviet wall, that in fact McCarthy was 100% right, but they destroyed him, just as Ted Cruz is now trying to in essence, pull a McCarthyism on Donald Trump that he heard, he read, alleges, we heard. Now suddenly he's quoting the New York Times as it's the Holy Grail. Isn't that ironic? That Ted Cruz, the purist, would quote an unnamed source at the New York Times, the enemy of everything Ted Cruz allegedly stands for, as a reliable source. When you go to the New York Post, it's become 100% anti-Trump because Murdoch is all in for Hillary. And the Murdoch children who run the Post attack Trump on a regular basis. So the headline is, here's why Trump didn't immediately condemn the KKK. That's like, have you stopped beating your wife? Donald, have you stopped beating your wife? It's like, how can you answer that question? Now, here's another one. Shut up and listen. Bill Clinton tells off Marine during rally. That's not the correct headline. It's not that Bill Clinton tells off Marine during rally. It's that the lowlife, Bill Clinton, shut a Marine up at a town hall meeting because he was stating some inconvenient truths about him and his wife. But again, the Murdochs are all in for the Clintons. I'm sure they dine together on a regular basis. And probably not only at the Palm, but everywhere else. I'm sure they eat palm nuts and everything else. And so we're living through the smear campaigns. Here's another one in the New York Post. Now remember, the ownership of the New York Post is a news corporation which owns Fox News, which owns Megyn Kelly, the marionette. So they feature her every day, and here it is. Megyn Kelly reveals that Donald Trump tried to woo her. Well, does that distinguish him from millions of other men, Megyn? You present yourself as a woman available to millions of men. Isn't that your popularity? It's certainly not your Einsteinian brain. Is Megyn Kelly popular because of her Einsteinian brain or because she looks like she would be a girl that you might want to date? Crazy, the whole thing. The whole thing, crazy. What else is in the news? Oh, we have this one. You got to hear this one. Mysterious death of Pope Francis aide alarms Vatican. This was like a few days after the pregnant, you know, in the Vatican. You heard about that? That didn't make it to your local parish. You didn't hear about the pregnant woman in the Vatican? They don't know who's. Well, actually, that's a healthy sign, to be honest, given the history of the proclivities that we've been hearing about for the last number of years. That was a healthy sign, the pregnant woman in the Vatican. But this mysterious death of Pope Francis aide alarms Vatican. I mean, Godfather 3, remember that? The Vatican Bank scandal? This is pretty amazing. Must be a pretty wild guy under that robe. Well, he was a bartender and a bouncer in his early days. You can take the bouncer out of, but you can't take the out of the bouncer, I guess. I don't know how that works. Let's see what else we have in the news. I don't know. It's the Oscars again, like it's a big deal. The DiCaprio speech on global warming was the best entertainment of the night. But here comes a better one. Here, we're facing ISIS, the most realistic threat to our survival in our lifetime since, let's say, forever. And here's Biden, the entertainer at the Oscars, talking about, well, you have to listen to clip 9 to hear.
Despite significant progress over the last few years, too many women and men on and off college campuses are still victims of sexual abuse. And tonight, I'm asking you to join millions of Americans, including me, President Obama, the thousands of students I've met on college campuses, and the artists here tonight, to take the pledge, a pledge that says, I will intervene in situations when consent has not or cannot be given. Let's change the culture.
You hear the drug addicts cheering? It's astounding. All of Hollywood runs on this particular type of behavior. The whole culture of Hollywood is that of abusing women. And he's speaking to them about that. Wait, it gets even better. There's some unknown director, Alejandro Gonzalez Inarritu. I never heard of him. And he gives a speech again, the diversity speech. Again attacking the Oscars for being too white. Listen to clip number 10.
I very lucky to be here tonight, okay? But okay. Unfortunately, many others haven't had the same luck. There is a line in the film that says, Glass to his mixed race son, they don't listen to you, they just see the color of your skin. So what a great opportunity to our generation.
Another hate America. Get out of here. Go back to your home country and see what kind of Oscar they give you for your talentless life. They come here, they win awards, they make a fortune, they hate America. How does that work? I'm an immigrant son, I love America. Is that simple? I love America, I'm an immigrant son. I can't stand these people who come here, win awards, and spit on my flag. That's why Trump is rising. You want me to unload with 16-inch guns? I'll do it one day. Not right now. Not in the mood. I'll give you 3 16-inch guns at once, anytime you want it, because I've been doing it for 21 years. I am sick and tired of people coming here from third world cesspools, making a fortune and name for themselves and denigrating my nation and denigrating my flag. Why don't they stay in the hellholes they came from and see what kind of chances they have in those destitute nations? Those despicable nations they come from. And then they glorify them. They tell me this is a racist nation. Take a look at what goes on in his home country. You'll see what real racism is. That was not a 16-inch gun. That was a 12-inch gun. And it was only a single barrel, by the way. Because I just ate and I don't have the desire right now to unleash my full firepower. I'm saving that for Super Wednesday, which is after Super Tuesday. I love, again, Fox News. Hillary ahead, Super Tuesday. Ahead of who? Ahead of who? The communist? I just love it. Don't you see what I've been telling you as the truth? I told you from the get-go, Bernie Sanders was a product of the Hillary Clinton machine. They invented him. They created him. They cultivated him. They ran him to make her look more centrist. And they threw him out like yesterday's newspaper when they didn't need him anymore. Why? Where were the other candidates? How come they haven't been 5, 6, 7, 8 Democrats with a full spectrum of choice? And by the way, while we're at it, how come there have been no African-American candidates on the Democrat side? Wait, while we're at it, how come we haven't seen any Hispanic candidates on the Democrat stage? Wait, while we're at it, how come we haven't seen anything but Hillary Clinton and one old communist from the streets of New York? Answer, because it's a communist front group. The entire Democrat socialist machine. The entire Democrat machine is a fraud from top to bottom. You may not like Republicans, but you know, when I look at the stage, I saw a big spectrum of ideas. Any one of whom, any one of the people on that stage would have been safer for America than the creature called Hillary Clinton.
How many of you voting for Hillary? You don't have to raise your hand. I do not blame you for wanting a female president, but that's a wicked woman. You can vote for her, but vote for her with knowledge. She can be sweet, but so can you. And you know when you're sweet with playing a game. White people, this is Satan. Most of you that went to jail for having a little blunt in your pocket, they arranged that. The Clinton mass incarceration came about under the Clinton.
Very interesting that Louis Farrakhan invokes Satan as he unleashes on Hillary Clinton, calling her a wicked woman and saying that her and her husband arranged for the incarceration under black men under their administration. I wonder what Farrakhan's thinking that he calls her Satan. I mean, I've been listening to Louis Farrakhan for years. Very smart man. He didn't survive this long by being stupid, given his rhetoric. But it's not that I admire him at all, don't get me wrong. I just like people who know how to survive. I analyze them. He certainly doesn't like the Clintons. He's actually throwing in with Trump. That's my opinion. I think he'd rather see Trump as president than Hillary Clinton. And I can almost tell you why. He probably senses that with Trump, he'd have someone who'd say it like it is and not stab him in the back. I think he senses that with Trump, what you see is what you get. And with Hillary, he knows that what you see is not what you get. And that's what I think. But meanwhile, the poll just came out for whatever it is. Even the left-wing CNN has Trump hitting a record 49% of GOP voters. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are projected to lead their parties in this. No kidding, Hillary Clinton had a throw in. According to the poll, Trump tops his nearest competitor by more than 30 points. On the Republican side, the poll shows Trump 49, Marco the bus boy 16, Ted the maitre d 15, Ben the doctor 10, and John the sad sack K 66. And so whatever you want to make of polls. We all know it's going to be a Trump versus a Hillary blow. I've told you that for months. That's what it is, that Sanders wasn't even a real candidate. We knew he had no chance whatsoever. It was just to make her look more centrist. And that's what he's done. He makes you think, wow, you know, at least she's not him. Whoa, thank God we didn't get the commie. He's so bad. All he talked about was taking money, and she's not so bad. Well, I'm going to tell you this, by the way, about Hillary. God forbid she should win. Socially, the country's finished. Disaster. Immigration, finished. Disaster. Economically, it may not be so bad. I'll tell you why. Because she's supported by billionaires and trillionaires. Her son-in-law is an investment banker. What do you think the speeches to Goldman Sachs were for? They don't care if she wins. They got their money on both sides of the aisle. Probably more so with her than with Trump, I would guess. So I don't think there's going to be much of an economic downturn to Hillary Clinton winning. But socially, it's the country's over. A prison camp. You won't be able to say what you believe. You get arrested. You know in Holland, did you hear what happened? Was it Germany or Holland? I really don't remember. But in Europe over the weekend, there was an anti-Muslim rally because they don't want the Muslims overrunning their nations and destroying their culture. And at the rally, a Dutchman wore a pig mask. He just simply put on a mask of a pig. He was arrested for inciting violence by wearing a pig mask because they said it might offend the Muslim. And there were no Muslims in attendance, by the way. Just wearing a pig mask was considered a crime in Europe. He was arrested by white men in his own country for expressing himself. Now, that's exactly what will happen in America if Hillary Clinton becomes president. In fact, I have an article I want to rip off the wall. You got to hear it. Hold on. You're going to not believe this. I'm here in my southern studio, which I haven't been here for a year. And every year I'm here, I usually put up a story that reminds me that I was here once before. I pay for the MPLS that's running all the time. It costs me a fortune on the chance I may come here. But I don't. It's very much like Napoleon always had his chef have a chicken on the rotisserie. No matter where he was, no matter where Napoleon went, he had a chicken on the rotisserie. Well, why? Because he said he never knew when he'd come back to camp and he wanted a fresh chicken. He didn't want to wait. He wanted a rotisserie chicken running all the time. That's Napoleon. I'm the same way. I have radio studios running all the time in case I decide on a whim to go to them, even though I never leave my main in San Francisco. I don't like traveling. I like my dog. I like my pillow. I like my bed. I like my air. I like my allergies. I like the bad restaurants. I like the mean people. Nothing could be better. So I come to the studio. I haven't been here in a while, and I find this on the wall, dated. Well, I'll read the headline. It has much to do with Hillary Clinton. Why the Fairness Doctrine Won't Be Reimposed, January 14th, 2011. 2011, now. Remember the Fairness Doctrine and all that talk about banning talk radio? 2011. And we were talking about it then. Do you know what the Fairness Doctrine is? It means that every time I would make a statement saying that, let's say, liberals are mentally ill, I'd have to have a liberal on to say that they're not mentally ill, or that conservatives are mentally ill. There would be no longer freedom of speech. There would be no fairness doctrine. Now, I would say that would be fair if, let's say, every time Jake Tapper opened his mouth and lied, I would get a chance to refute him. Or every time Mr. Blinky on CNN, Wolf Blitzer, the most dangerous man in American media history, because he pretends to be so neutral. Why can't you gentlemen calm down? I'm just trying to have a debate here. After he pit them against each other, that creature. Anyway, let me stop right there. It's a family show. But the thing is, if they were to say, okay, look, this doctrine in the news media on television, and we're going to get conservatives like Michael Savage to counter everything Wolf Blitzer says, every time Jake Tapper says anything, Michael Savage gets to say his one-minute piece, fine, I'll go for it. I'll take the fairness doctrine. But it won't work that way. If Hillary Clinton becomes president, they would let the liars in the TV world continue to lie. And they would try to get rid of talk radio because they're saying it's too biased. Well, we're not biased. We have a viewpoint that's strong. Mine are very strongly borders language, culture, conservatism. They have been for 22 years this March, God willing. But it's a one-man show. It's one man's opinion. That's all it is. Either you like it or you don't like it. Sometimes you listen and you don't like it. Sometimes you listen and you do like it. The thing is, it's one man's opinion. It's a biased, very subjective analysis of the news and of world events and of anything else I'm interested in talking about. Well, that's what talk radio is. Now, if Hillary becomes president, as sure as I'm sitting here, she will get the demons in Congress and I can name them all because I remember all of them, and some of them are Republicans because they tried to do it before, who will no doubt pass the fairness doctrine. And they will say that we want to make sure that everything is fair for the average viewer. Well, it wouldn't be fair. They'll come up with a reason trying to tell you it's fair. And it'll be a one-sided story. By the way, there's another story that's sad, very hard to read. There was a young lady in Virginia, Woodbridge, Virginia, on her first day on the job as a policewoman, former Marine, by the way. She comes out. She gets a job as an officer, ex-Marine reservist, shot to death on a domestic violence call, two other cops shot. Now, why do you think she got killed and two other cops were shot? Why did they not shoot first when they were coming to a guy who already shot his wife on a domestic violence? Mr. Hamilton and his wife, Crystal, had been arguing all day, but it escalated after she called 911, the chief said. Hamilton fatally shot his wife and then fired at the arriving officers, killing Officer Gruenden and seriously wounding the others before emerging from his front door to surrender. Officers recovered a handgun and a rifle. Why do you think the officers didn't shoot first? Do you know why? Well, it's a tough thing for me to say, but it has a little bit to do with race. That's why she's dead. And a lot to do with the culture of anti-police, the anti-police culture that has been preached by Reverend Obama these past 7 years. See, the hate preacher Reverend Obama has spewed such hatred for police, and he has so turned liberals against police, making them into Ku Klux Klan members, even though they wear blue. He made you think they wear white sheets, that the cops are afraid to shoot first, so instead they're getting shot first. That's what's going on in America, and it's going to get much worse, by the way, if Hillary becomes president. If you think he's bad, oh yeah. So here we are, my friends. If you care to comment, it's time for some calls, 855-400-7282. Let's go to KSFO. Kevin, line number one, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about Trump's magnetism. I was watching the movie Hoffa, which I hadn't seen in a long time. And I got into the part of the movie where he's helping that truck driver change a tire. And then I watched it from then on. And that's the way Hoffa was portrayed, but Trump has that same kind of deal. There's people...
But, sir, you're talking about a movie about Hoffa, not Hoffa himself. So you're talking about the actor who played Hoffa. So you're saying Trump has the charisma of the actor.
Yeah, he does. And
well, that's true. He's a fine actor. He's a very fine actor. No question about it. In other words, I book his act. I don't book Rubio's act or Cruz's act.
And
if I were a booking agent, I would book Trump, but I wouldn't book Cruz or Rubio, because they wouldn't sell.
You're right. And
that's all. That's simple, because I think Hillary must be stopped at all costs. I think she's a clear and present threat to our survival as a nation.
But the way it was...
All right, thanks for the call. That's all. I mean, will you tell me he looks like Danny DeVito? No. I don't like the remark today about the fingers, the hands, very much. Did you hear that one earlier? That was, like, so crazy. It's reached the level of a schoolyard. Rubio is off his meds. Something's wrong with him. I mean, forget, you know, Cruz, you may not did it's that, but at least he's rational. Rubio is becoming irrational. Listen to this thing about Trump's hands and fingers. Listen.
He says he's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me. He's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands?
I think the only way to judge this for its truth is to compare Rubio's wife to Trump's wife. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Well, last night he actually was pretty calm after I punched him around a little bit. He's learning how to spell, I guess somebody said here. But he's flying around on Air Force One and tweeting. So here's the one tweet he put out. He put out a picture of me having makeup put on me at the debate, which is amazing to me. that a guy with the worst spray tan in America is attacking me for putting on makeup.
Oh, my God. If ever this man has shown he's not qualified for any public office at any level, it's now. He is really off his meds. But, you know, look, let's talk realistically. You're listening to the show for opinion rather than commenting on opinion, right? And sometimes my comments are funny, sometimes they're not. The fact of the matter is the enthusiasm for Donald Trump is higher than I've seen for any candidate in American history. I've never seen anything like it, and there's no enthusiasm for Hillary. That's something you should know. I said it very quietly. I didn't even have to yell, scream. I didn't have to say it loud. The enthusiasm for Trump at every rally is off the charts. There's no enthusiasm for her. Her daughter, for example, the dummy spoke to a room with three people in it. Did you see that last week? The dummy daughter. That's number one. No one cares about the Clintons. The reason she beat him is because he was a non-candidate to begin with. And I want to remind you, just take it home quietly. The turnout in South Carolina, the Democrat side, was 30% lower than it was in 08. There's no enthusiasm for her. She is rotting guava on the jungle floor. They've seen it before. Nobody wants to taste it again. Okay, they want fresh guava. They know they go deeper into the valley and they find a tree where the fruit hasn't fallen off the tree yet. It's as simple as that. I mean, I'm giving a different graphic. My assistant's a young guy. I don't know why he's laughing. Isn't she like rotting guava on a jungle floor? I once lived in a tropical area where I never even knew what a guava was when I moved to New York. I moved to the tropics, and I was walking around, and there was squishy fruit on the ground. It reminds me, there's a whole Democrat party is like squishy fruit on the floor. We've seen it, we've smelled it, we know what it is. It's Bolshevism light. And with her, it'll become Bolshevism heavy, very heavy, believe me. It won't even be Bolshevism light at that point. I imagine that they'll have to change the Lincoln bedroom to the Jenny Craig bedroom if she becomes president. Okay, I'll do the heavy jokes in a minute. I'll save them for another time. I mean, if Rubio can do it, I can do it. Imagine them have to change the Lincoln bedroom if she becomes president to another name. The Jenny bedroom, okay, fine. Who are the candidates now? Is that Rubio? Or he has children? Who's this one? Is that Jerry Lewis now on Fox? I don't know. It looks like a younger Jerry Lewis on the air. They're all comedians. Have you noticed everybody wants to be in show business? Everybody's trying to do a shtick. Rubio's definitely going to try for my job when he gets thrown out off the stage. Since he's in Florida, he's going to try and get a gig here on talk radio. Yeah, it wouldn't even work in Miami. Look how he even holds the microphone like a Schmendrick. He can't even hold a microphone properly. He looks like an idiot grasping it. It's like grasping for straws. Trump has theatrics because he's been in business a long time. Is Christie back again? Did he give another speech this today? Light on his feet, Christie. Is this ever going to end? The endless campaign, I feel like I'm living through something I've never seen before in my lifetime. Normal people don't pay attention to this. They're not listening to talk radio. They're not paying attention to any of this. Here's what they know. The average person knows this. Chris Rock is a comic genius. Donald Trump is Hitler. And Hillary Clinton is Madame Curie. That's what the average person thinks in their mind from the news media. Chris Rock is the funniest man in the history of the world, even though he's on the level, in my opinion, of a sub-moron. How could he attack the people who gave him a living? The man was a nobody. And he gets up there, bites the hand that feeds them, and you know, who's more insane? Is it Chris Rock or the white people in the audience who applauded every time he attacked them? I'll let you decide. He conducts a pogrom against white people last night, and they sit there clapping and laughing. By the way, there's a little inside story you don't know. There were no A-listers there. Did you know that? Did you read it anywhere? I heard it from a friend of mine who knows. None of the big names were in the audience, except those who received an award, like the DiCapito. They had to get the guy from Ray Donovan to give an award out, three different awards. He was the only one there. I forget his name. The guy who was a ballerina at one point. Yeah, Schreiber. Schreiber Paints. The Lev Schreiber. When I was a kid, there was a Schreiber guy would paint your car for $29. You painted your glass and your shoes if you didn't get out of the car fast enough.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, flag or sleeve on me.
Well, we got decimated. That's what happened. Among older African Americans, it was pathetic from our perspective. But by the way, what was the glimmer of positive news for us is that we won the 29 years of age the or younger workers. Vote.
29-year-old deli workers went for him. Anyone in the business of delicatessen, he got 29% of the vote. Welcome to the program. I mean, it leads you to ask. I mean, he was a fraud from the beginning, hand-picked by the Hillary campaign, in my estimation. That's why they threw Jim Webb off the stage. We had a conservative Democrat, Jim Webb, former Navy secretary, very patriotic, a borders language culture man. He didn't last a week. The Clinton machine destroyed him. Instead, they let the commie, you know, rage on and on against money and people with better shoes and better hair and better wives. Class warfare went on to make her look centrist, but she's the furthest thing from being a centrist. But it leads you to ask yourself, what will Bernie Sanders do once he's finished in politics? I think now he could easily become an advisor to the Rubio campaign. There's no question that Sanders could work for Rubio, given that they're on the same message. They're reading the same messages. Phone number is 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation, hour number 3. Here's some headlines I haven't touched yet. Clarence Thomas speaks from Supreme Court bench for first time in a decade. I mean, look, if you want to give some laugh lines here, you can, but it's not a funny thing. But I ask myself, 10 years he hasn't spoken. The morning session was nearly over when Ilana Eisenstein, the Assistant Solicitor General, arguing the government's position, asked if any of the justices had any more questions for her. And it was a little noticed hearing involving issues of domestic abuse and the potential loss of gun rights. So the session's almost over, blah, 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 any more questions. All of a sudden, Clarence Thomas, who hasn't been heard from in 10 years, booms in his baritone voice, and he launches a line of inquiry that was not explored in the hour-long hearing, and he says, can you give me another area of law where a misdemeanor violation suspends a constitutional right? Clarence Thomas asked Eisenstein, who was arguing that a federal ban on gun ownership for people who are convicted of low-level domestic violence offenses at the state level should apply if the offense was committed recklessly. See, it shows you how smart he really is. He asked only one question with one line. He didn't give a flowery speech. He's a very smart man. Here's another little story for you. Valley prepares for next wave of Central American children. Children. Half of them are 30 years old, making believe they're 13. Have you seen that one? They put them into elementary school. They're 29 years old. I don't know where my birth certificate is. So we're getting flooded now with more voters. Here's another one out of New Jersey. It's very frightening. If you saw The Departed with Leon DiCaprio and Jack Nicholson, where they put a gangster handpicks a kid, raises him up, and puts him into the police. State police boosted academy diversity by ignoring background checks, suit says. New Jersey now, land of the Sopranos. A veteran state trooper alleges in a whistleblower lawsuit she was retaliated against by her superiors after raising objections that police academy background checks were compromised because of pressure to increase racial diversity among state police ranks. Acting Sergeant Jacqueline Giras, who spent 5 months working as a background investigator, at a time the division was being scrutinized for his lack of black cadets, claims she was reassigned and denied a promotion when she flagged applicants with troubled legal histories and criminal backgrounds. Now, you see, this is the problem with diversity uber alles. Diversity uber alles means that they will pick people based upon anything except qualifications. Finally today, here's another little story for those of you who are interested. Schism emerges on the Apple case among San Bernardino survivors. That's an interesting story. You know the whole story. We'll let the FBI bypass security protocols to get into the one phone. It's crazy, the whole thing. They should have been able to do it a long time ago. I understand there are hundreds of phones around America with criminal acts that could be exposed, but the greedy, evil owners of these companies will not cooperate with police or the FBI. Greedy, evil people. they think that they're God Almighty. They're more powerful than governments. You know and I know if Trump were president, Tim Cook would be in prison for contempt of court. Tim Cook would not be smiling and laughing at the FBI. Tim Cook would be in a concrete prison cell until he released that information. That opens up a line at 855-407-282. It's hour number three, which is hour number one for most of you who only tune in for hour number three. I am broadcasting from a hidden location on the East Coast tonight. After a year, I have not been on the East Coast. 1 year now. So different, it's amazing. You know, when I sit at home in San Francisco or in an area around San Francisco, I do a show live from 12 to 3, which is a weird hour, actually, for most people. But here it's 3 to 6. Here it's a 3 to 6. You actually get a different feeling for the time. It's like people are already home. They're sweaty at this hour. They've gotten home. They can't get in. I want to talk to the wife and kids. They labored. Or they're not even home yet. The taxes are so high. They're on the way home. They're almost home. They wish they were home. But it's a whole different flavor. I did this for years, this time slot. I'm not used to it because I got in very late last night. I had a problem with pressurization again. Oh, God, the masks. Not the mask this time. Just a little delay job. Sat on pins and needles for 5 hours. I thought my ears would blow. No, it was a perfectly fine flight. Eating, sleeping. Till you get there, it looks like Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, like a circus train. But the dog isn't with me on this trip. I took him before. He's such a good passenger. My dog is such a good passenger. He could make 5 hours, maybe 5:15, without making on the floor. Once I came back, because it's an hour longer coming back, because you hit a headwind east to west, right? Going east, it's easy. It's a 4.5, 4:45 top. Maybe a fiver if you got a bad headwind and no good tail. You do a 4:45-er. Last time was a 4:40, 4:45. Going back, it's always an hour more. You got to gear yourself up for it. It's like an extra meal. You got to get ready for that extra meal going back. That extra hour is like terrible, grueling. So for the dog, it's like, okay, he don't know. He's in his head. He timed a 5-hour trip. He's good for five. He didn't know it was going to be six. The poor thing held himself in going back. It was 5.5, bingo, right on the floor. Disgusting. But what we won't do for our dogs, my God, since he had the teeth removed. The other night, I remember now, it's coming back to me like in a bad dream. The night before I left for the trip, I went to a local restaurant I love very much. I've been going there for years, complaining about it for over 40 years. And the dog was under the table. Here's the problem with the dog in a restaurant. He's a little dog. He doesn't bark. He doesn't pee. Doesn't do anything wrong. He's allowed in. Here's the problem is that I don't drop food. I'm not a slob. But if you take a look at the people who eat in these places, you can't even begin to describe them as a member of the human species. The things that must fall out of their hands on a floor before I sit down. So the dog is under there. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to eat them. So he gagged on something, and it looked like, I don't know how to put it, it's a family show, but he got something in his long ear. And I had just finished eating. I was ready to go, and I see the dog's dragging something in his ear. It looked like, I'm sorry to say, like afterbirth got stuck in his ear. I don't know what was under that table. I was afraid it was like a dead animal that someone stepped on, or an animal gave birth, like a marsupial gave birth under the table, and the dog tried to eat it and got stuck in his ear. I didn't know what it was. Could you imagine me having to clean that out of the dog's ear after eating a 5-course meal with a wet rag? Oh, my God. So I can't say that I actually miss traveling with him. I hope he's doing well on the West Coast. I needed a break. We both needed a break from each other. No matter how much you love each other, you know, it's like enough for it. It's like the odd couple, you and your dog. I was going to ask those of you who are East Coast, West Coast people. A lot of people on the West Coast lived on the East Coast originally, and they continue to identify as East Coasters. I don't. I'm not one of those people. There she is, Megyn Kelly, with the hairdo, the weird hairdo. Portrait of Megyn Kelly. She destroyed her looks. You look carefully. You tell me I'm not wrong that she doesn't look like more and more like a barmaid. There's nothing wrong with barmaids, but she didn't have that look. She had a refined look. The meaner she's become towards conservatives and let out the real Megyn Kelly, the more she looks like a girl with tats in a bar. The next thing I'm telling you, you're going to wake up, there's going to be a Rubio tat on her neck. Anyway, if you're from the East Coast and you're living on the West Coast, I've never done this as a lifestyle question. I could ask a stupid question. I'm not going to do it. Like, what do you miss? What do you miss? You miss nothing. What do you miss on from the East Coast? What's going to miss? There are certain things I like more on the West Coast. I'll tell you the truth. You know what I like most about the West Coast, I've noticed? Things are cleaner. than on the East Coast, generally. I don't mean like in Florida, which is a state unto itself, because the South, the Southern thing changes it. But generally, it's so clean. Things are cleaner. Everything looks greener. And I have no allergies yet. That's one of the reasons I took the trip, if you're interested. Suffering like I almost died from allergies. It goes so bad. The worst allergy season of my life. You know, my mind was so fogged on the plane ride over, I couldn't remember the city Memphis. Somebody asked me, the last time you were flying and your plane had to go down because of a technical, which city did you have to land in where you saw the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial and you went to Beale Street? I blanked. I couldn't remember the name Memphis. I have a perfect memory. That's one thing I pride myself on. My allergies had become so bad that I couldn't remember the name of the city Memphis. I got frightened. I thought it was early onset Alzheimer's, but it wasn't. It was a product of eating too much and a lack of oxygen. HillaryClinton.com, are you kidding me? It's like a fright wig she's wearing now. By the way, she gussied herself up after she beat Sanders. You notice that? They changed their makeup. Made her look a little younger. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. What do you fear the most about Hillary Clinton become president? That's a basic political question. That's a darn good question. It's a very important one. It's the essence of the whole election. That's why we're all for Trump. He's imperfect. We know that. We know that he's going to do this or that that we don't like. We know that. Mark me down right now. Mark it down. Today is what date? I don't know the date. I have no newspaper in front of me. Are you sure it's the 29th? When is March 4th? Let me get a newspaper. The only thing I trust the newspapers for is the date. Let's see. I think they get that right here. New York Post Oscar edition. That's full of the desperate people who want to have a vicarious thrill if they're dating these ugly women or going out with these fake men. Here, what does it say? Monday, February 29th. You're right, Jim. 100% right. Monday, February 29th, 2016, a shower, 62 degrees, weather, page 43. I'm going to turn to page 43 of the New York Post to see the... Oh, God. So, yeah, it's that date already. Mark it down, February 29th. On the Savage Nation, I said that Trump, if he becomes president, will definitely disappoint us on many things. I said it before. However, on the big things, he will not disappoint us. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. No question in the minds of anyone who is objective that there's a war on police that was started by Eric Holder, Barack Obama. It started from almost the first day of Barack's ascension to the presidency. There was a war on police with the big lie. And now it has metastasized down to the grade school level, where young children of color think that police are all corrupt, that they're all secretly members of the Ku Klux Klan. And this is all a result of the deceiver-in-chief in the White House, Eric Holder. And now Loretta Lynch won't step in and stop it. She's part of the problem. And we have a real problem in America because of this. The police cannot do their jobs. They're hesitating and getting whacked as a result. They're hesitating, they're afraid to act, and they're often getting killed in the line of duty, as happened with that young lady that didn't make it to your local newspaper, I realized, because the colors were all wrong. Here's a young woman, ex-Marine reservist, one day on her job, she goes to a domestic violence call when the man shot his wife. He comes out blasting and kills her dead. One day on the job, ex-Marine reservist, one day as a cop, first day on the job, goes to a domestic violence call in Woodbridge, Virginia, comes out blasting after shooting his wife, and because the police were afraid to be called racist, she's dead and two others are wounded. That is what I am talking about. I realize it's a naked statement. I realize it's not varnished. There's no vanilla ice cream on it with toppings. It's just what happened. The cops are hesitating, and they're getting killed. That's the problem. And you want to hear the irony of the story? Her name was Officer Ashley Guindon. Guindon's death was not the first tragedy to strike her family. Her father, David, killed himself the day after he returned home from Iraq. Oh, that's awful. I don't know how these things work. The tragedy in the human soul is awful. And to top it off, this woman, a former Marine Corps reservist, this officer who was killed in the line of duty after only one day on the job, She had a master's degree in forensic science. She had been sworn in on Friday and dead over the weekend. Domestic violence call. Call that could have become routine. Domestic disturbance in a well-kept suburban neighborhood. But one woman had already been slain inside the house by the perpetrator, Army Sergeant Ronald Hamilton, who worked for the Pentagon, by the way. Just shows you what's going on inside the Pentagon. Pentagon worker, dead. Army Sergeant Ronald Hamilton opens fire as she arrived at his door, killing her and wounding two other officers. I mean, in the past, the cops wouldn't have walked up and said, "How are you doing, ma'am?" They would have approached much more cautiously. But now they're afraid to do their jobs. Now, what are you going to do about a thing like this? It's going to get much worse under Hillary Clinton and a lot better under Donald Trump, or any Republican for that matter. We'll be able to breathe again in the country. But right now, the cops are afraid to take a breath. Whatever they do, they're wrong. We have time for one call on this subject. Hank on WABC, fire away. You're on the air.
Yes. There was 6 cops killed by white males this year alone. And I never hear anyone use anti-cop rhetoric, blaming anti-cop rhetoric for those killings.
But I didn't say it's blacks on white. I said there's a war on police. So don't misquote me. The police in general have been intimidated as a result of the war on police. Do you know how many cops have been killed this year in 2016 in the line of duty?
There's about 6 of them I know that were killed by white males. And
no, I mean, I'm just overall, how many cops have been killed in the line of duty this year?
Exact number. Okay.
133. Is that too low for you? Maybe it's too low. Maybe you'd be happier if it was 1,013. Then you'd still say it's not a war on police. That's a low number. Only 113 officers who didn't go home to their wives and children. No. That's a low number to the liberal. It's only 113. I'll tell you more die of cancer, they'll tell you next. It is the East Coast version of the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-2822. It is 33 minutes after the hour, which means in about 30 minutes, it's Powhana time for me. I'll probably jump in the pool or take a bike ride or go to sleep, then have dinner. Look at the dark waters of the East Coast. Look at the East Coasters trying to be Tony Soprano's sons with the chains and the hair, wearing wool suits in the summer with no underwear. WFTL, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mike, I'm a retired police sergeant. I used to teach police tactics. We taught our people, second best means you're dead. We taught them never to hesitate because hesitation costs your life. Make no mistake about it, as we're seeing right now, recently, I think it's up to 8 within the past month that have been killed.
So you agree with me that there's a war on police. They've been intimidated by Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and now Loretta Lynch. They're afraid to do their job in plain English. No matter what they do, they're going to be called one name or another, or worse than that, lose their job or go to jail themselves.
Correct. 100% I agree with you, Mike. And it's
I'm rarely wrong, by the way. When I am, I admit it. I'm not wrong on this. what do you do, to be fair to the argument, when there's excessive force used, which does happen? That's the problem. This is what we're facing right now.
Right. I was with the DA's office. We used to prosecute cops for using excessive force. We routed them out of the department. We do not want people who use excessive force. Unfortunately, the human being who he is, human nature, some cops are bad and some cops abuse their authority, and they are dealt with. Make no mistake about it.
Right. I mean, there are laws on the books, and there's oversight committees, there's internal affairs. It's not as though it doesn't exist.
It's very strong, and most departments are very, very emphatic. They do not want cops abusing their authority. End of story.
But this story of this young woman comes out of a Marine Reserves, one day on the job as a cop, goes to a domestic violence case. The guy had already killed his wife. He shoots her and kills her, and two other officers get shot because they're afraid to shoot first. They're afraid to even defend themselves first.
What a tragedy. What a horror story.
Former Marine Corps reservist with a master's degree, the young woman, Ashley Gwendon, shot the minute she showed up at the door.
Right. And, you know, domestic disputes and car stops are two of the most dangerous things cops confront.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I know that car stops are very deadly. You're telling me domestic disputes are also deadly?
Very, very much so. And then I think number three is accidents. A lot of cops get killed responding to calls in fatal car accidents, unfortunately, or in pursuits.
Oh, you mean on the highway. They get hit by a car or something.
Yes, exactly.
What happened the other day, another one. Well, I don't know the answer to this, because the police have to, we have to stop the war on police. And we both know, talking about this, there's a reason for it, that if Hillary becomes president, the police will be as likely disarmed in this country as anything.
That's correct. That's why we need Trump. Trump is very pro.
That is correct. That is, you're going to have a choice. Either you're going to have disarmed police who are sitting ducks, where only the criminals have guns, or you could have Donald Trump, where the cops might be armed with the automatic weapons that they often need to face the cartels who are killing them as well. By the way, that's another story.
That's correct, and Trump will make sure that the cops are armed sufficiently and have the right...
You know what amazes me? We keep hearing from the European socialists and the American counterpart how they like Europe and how they like France. You look at France, the Parisian police are just not armed at all, but there are armed police, and then you have military walking around in France with submachine guns because of the Muslim threat.
I saw it firsthand when I was there in 2006. Guys by the Eiffel Tower carrying machine guns.
How come we don't hear the liberals? How come we don't hear the liberals in France screaming that there should be no machine guns? How come all of a sudden they like the police, the gendarmes having a machine gun all of a sudden?
Because 150 or some odd people were killed, as you know, in Paris during that ISIS terrorist attack.
Yeah, by the Muslim bloodbath.
That's correct.
I know we're not allowed to say that there's a connection to any religion or race. I get that. Supposed to be deaf, dumb, and blind about what the real threats are. Did you hear Leon DiCaprio's decapitated speech that the greatest threat to the world is global warming? Can you believe this?
Yeah, actually, the greatest threat to the world is Leon DiCaprio. I have no use for those people.
Leon DiCaprio.
Yes, DiCaprio.
Do you speak a little Italian, Nick?
I think he's about an eighth Italian. I think his great-grandfather was Italian, so he kept a surname to make it look fashionable.
I mean, do you speak Italian?
Do I? A little bit, yes.
So when I say DiCaprio, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Man, it's like the Headless Horseman. All right, you're a good-natured guy, Nick. Thank you. Guys, you got to play an acceptance speech at the Oscars by Leon DiCaprio. This man is like the Headless Horseman. He wins an Oscar. He's a fine actor. Let's not negate that. I love his acting. I think he's a fine marionette. But brains in the brain department, I think something missed, a few genes missed. Here's a guy who has the lifestyle that guys dream about when they're 15. Girls, wine, women, and song, yachts, planes, fine. It's his money to do as he wishes with. But you don't get up and give a speech like this unless you want the world to laugh at you. Listen to it carefully.
Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species, and we need to work collectively together and stop procrastinating. We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters of the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most
affected. All right, blah, blah, blah. As he jumped off into his rented jet and ran to his yacht for the girls. I mean, come on. Then you got that sub-moron, Chris Mock, biting the hand that feeds him. Here's an unknown with no talent whatsoever, who would be nowhere were it not for the people he was attacking, who sat there applauding. Unbelievable to me. And the only good news is that there is no good news. The only good news is that we survived this far. The Oscar ratings were at an all-time low. Top story on Drudge for a day, and it has been horrible. Lowest in history. Even if people tuned in, I called some people I know. Did you see the Oscars? They said I watched for a minute and turned it off. That's the mark of sanity. He's going to rip your race, and you're going to sit and listen to the guy. And then Rubio, my God, what's with him? With the hair and the small hands and the... This is what it's descended to, devolved to, rather. What else is in the news? Trump at 49%. That already did the CNN poll. That means it's 69%. Rubio, the only thing he can become after this is an advisor to Hillary Clinton or go to work for Rupert Murdoch in the news business. What about the email scandals of Hillary Clinton? Why hasn't she been called on the carpet for that? There was another email dump today. We don't hear a word about it. Jake Tapper spends all of his vitriol attacking anybody who stands for the American way. That's all he does. Manhattan penthouse sliced in two as luxury market falters. That's on the Drudge Report. I'm interested in real estate. You know, it starts at the top. You know, it is. Here's an interesting thing about real estate that I haven't read anywhere, but I noticed that after the last downturn, maybe it's commonsensical and I shouldn't even say it. Remember after the last downturn, everything was horrible? The way a real estate market comes back is it starts from the bottom. The little houses, the cheap condos start to sell again. And then it goes up to the high end, right? And then the opposite is true. When a market starts to come down, are the very luxury units start to come down first, not the low end. Did anyone ever say that? I should go into real estate. New York City penthouse gets sliced into as luxury market falters. Developer says 45 mil was too expensive for the market. So he's going to cut it in half to two at 29 mil. Oh, one at 29 and one at 11. At the very top of his newly constructed condo tower in Soho, developer Kevin Maloney saw a problem, a triplex penthouse, blah, blah, blah. I don't like those all-glass apartments. They're stupid. You talk about energy inefficiency. You burn up in the summer. You freeze in the winter. You know what your heating and air conditioning bills are in there? Why do you think houses and apartments were built with relatively small windows through the millennia? Boys and girls, let's do this together. Let's not worry about anything else for a minute. Let's use common sense. You grew up probably in an apartment or a house that had a regular sash window that went up and down. The rest was a wall. And boys and girls, the walls were put there to keep out the evil animals in the old days when there were animals that threatened you, to keep out the wind and the rain and the snow and the sleet. And, of course, if you build an all-glass apartment, what are you getting? You're getting a nightmare with regard to heating and air conditioning, right? What sense does that make? And if I were in the zoning business, I would prohibit these all-glass luxury condos from the point of energy efficiency. Makes me sound green, but, I mean, I do have common sense. I don't care what it makes me sound like. You live in an old glass house. You can't throw green stones. You can only wear rhinestones. Rhinestones and green stones. I hope I feel better tomorrow. I'm not bad. Am I doing well today? Is Buddy doing well so far? Am I still making sense? Raise your hand in the audience if you like the show today. Sometimes I do weird things. Like I do a show like today where I feel like I'm a little off. Like from jet lag and I didn't sleep. I woke up at dawn. I had only slept 3 hours. Big deal. You don't need as much sleep as you need. Here's the problem. I woke up at dawn the minute I had gone to sleep 3 hours before. I woke up at dawn, raring to go. But because it wasn't daylight yet, I shut the curtains and went back to sleep. That's the worst thing you could do. I should have gone running on the beach like in the Paris Island. But A, I don't run on the beach, and B, I hate sand in my toes. Number three, I don't like running at dawn anywhere unless someone's chasing me. And that hasn't happened in at least three decades. No one's chased me at dawn. I won't even go into that detail, but usually get chased at dawn, it's out of your own house. But the thing is, I went back to sleep, so I'm a little off. But do you like the show? Raise your hand if you like the show. Robert, are they calling and saying they like it or they hate it? I think it's good. Sometimes I do a show where I think I'm off and everyone says, wow, that was a great show. How do you do that? How do you do that show for 3 hours? How do you stay on for 3 hours? You don't make a mistake. How is that even possible? How come you sound smarter than Leo DiCaprio? How come your speeches sound better and you don't have a script? It's off the top of your head how? That's why he earns the big bucks and I don't. Truth doesn't make you money in this world. Truth doesn't make you a lot of money. I mean, I'm not complaining, but the truth is that lies sell. Lies sell. Take a look at Hillary Clinton's like she's invented herself again. No one ever heard of her. Brand new, clean grandmother. Brand new, never heard of her. No scandals ever attached to her. What email scandal? Are you kidding? Why those right-wing Nazis after me on that one? My husband, Bill? Who, that shaky old white-haired guy over there? Aw, come on. They made that stuff up about him and those girls, that rape stuff. Aw, come on. He's a sad old little guy. Nice grandpa, Bill. Reinvented. But with Hollywood friends, you can do anything today. If you guy like Leon DiCaprio can give a speech and get up after getting an Oscar, which he deserved because, after all, he is a talented actor and there's very little talent in Hollywood. Finally, give him an award, big deal, an Oscar, schmasker, whatever. And he gives a speech that's about global warming. These things are written for them by PR agencies. Agents write these things. So he does that one. The other one does it about racism. The next one does it about women. Biden gave one on rape. That was his problem. Vice President of the United States gets up at the Oscars. Instead of talking about the threat of Islamic terrorism, he talks about the rape culture in America to people who live in the world of abuse of women. Can you believe this? The world we're living in? Well, my friends, it is now 47 minutes after the hour. What does that mean to you? It means that I, Michael Savage, will be back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
He's always calling me Little Marco. And I'll admit, the guy, he's taller than me, he's like 6'2", which is why I don't understand why his hands are the size of someone who's 5'2". Have you seen his hands? They're like this. And you know what they say about men with small hands?
Ooh, God.
You can't trust them. You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
Well, as I said earlier, compare Marco's wife to Donald's wife. That'll tell you who you can trust on the issue of small hands. How can a campaign function like that? Crazy, crazy. I mean, I could see mudslinging. Donald started the mudslinging, to be perfectly fair. And he did ridicule him. But he's not fighting back in a very intelligent or dignified manner, I mean, to be very clear about this. You know, you watch the Oscars, an all-time low. The all-time low of classless Oscars presented by this nobody, Chris Rock. And then you watch the campaign, all-time low. This is an all-time low. What, do you think it's high? You think there's a Churchill running for office in terms of rhetoric? I don't think so. I told you why I support Donald Trump. It doesn't mean I think he's Churchill. Don't get me wrong, please. Please don't assume I haven't read the great speeches of all time, and I don't know the difference. Believe me, I do. In fact, when I went to college, remember, I am an immigrant son. When I first went to college, I went to Queens College, City University of New York. One of the courses we had to take was Speech 101. And I was a very, very poor public speaker at that point. I was good as a kid because I didn't know any better. When I went to college, I had to take speech. I was ashamed of my accent because I spoke, you know, like an immigrant did in many ways, and I didn't speak perfectly. But I had a good voice, and I had a good mind. So the teacher took me aside, and he said, don't be shy. He said, you learn how to fix everything that you say. Just listen to the great speeches. And, you know, we listened to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speeches, and he analyzed them for us. We listened to Churchill's speeches. He analyzed them for us. So I learned speech making and speech writing and speech, how to speak. Imagine that. I went to school where we took a course in Speech 101. Today they'd be ashamed to teach it because you'd have to listen to some intelligent men. Notice we had an FDR and a Churchill, both. I didn't even know it at the time. One was a liberal and one was a conservative. I had no idea because they never told us the politics of the speakers. We were just told they were great speakers. Do you understand the bigger point than what I'm making here? The average person listening to the show. Someone tells me I'm too esoteric. All they want to hear is Democrat bad, Republican good. Conservative good, liberal bad. They just want two legs good, four legs bad. They said, Michael, many of your references are too literary. Many of your references are too historic for the average listener. They don't know what you're talking about. Is that true? Or do I skew an audience that doesn't know what I'm talking about? Someone's buying my books. They're not all illiterate as you would have, as Jake Tapper would have you believe. I would say Jake Tapper is the functional illiterate. I would say Jake Tapper is more like an idiot savant who could pretend to be sane and intelligent when he really is the opposite. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening.